The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
When people come in here, they think that we get them for free or something like that, but we don't. We have no other reason except for dependability and tone.
Now, what do you want?
Hey, George.
Can't you see I'm busy?
Hey, I want to hear about...
I'm laying out sound, man. You know.
Hey, you know, George, there's nobody that sounds like that, man. That is just huge.
Well, that's the idea. When we first got going, I got a 125 guitar. I didn't have an electric guitar. Jeff Simon got a gig for us. And I said, I don't have a guitar. And he said, well, get one. So I went down to the Hawk shop, and it was a Gibson ES-125. Single cutaway double pickup that everybody wanted in the
neighborhood. Was it the red?
The old red, yeah, okay. But it was kind of faded because it was old. It was way up at the top of the Hawk shop, Levi's on Market Street. And I went down to get it. I said, it'd been there for a couple years. It was my destiny to own that guitar because nobody had been there for a long time.
Right.
So I said, well, I need a guitar. As soon as I picked it up, I said, this is the guitar for me. And I went through 1,000 guitars before that guitar and after it. And I said, that's the one. And it just seemed to work for me.
Yeah.
It just worked. And I played it and played it and played it. I played that thing. But it was a real freak because I bought a couple others after that. And it didn't quite have the response because they were kind of inexpensive guitars. They
had
P90 pickups, which were priceless. They got the sound. Yeah. And I just got lucky. I got like a Chevy 2 Nova that you could run it at the Indianapolis 500.
Right.
You know, it was a freak of nature. Well, it just was a freak of nature.
Well, all those old Gibsons were unique.
Not like this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Even I took it to some of the best technology people in the world, you know. What is his name? What's the guy that great? Reverend, I know the guy. Guys do all the guitar work in Santa Barbara. He does pickups. He's the biggest technician for all. And he said, I've never seen anything like this.
Really?
He put it on and he said, it puts out three times more volume than it should. It was just a freak of nature. And for a trio,
oh, yeah.
That was great.
And
it was really great for slide guitar, which I'm very hung up on, which I still am.
Yeah. So in that, you were like a real Howlin' Wolf fan, right?
Is
that kind of where you got?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
where
it started?
Oh, yeah.
And you were doing solo gigs before.
Yeah, I was doing that for about almost a year. I did okay, but yeah. I played with some heavy people. Sonny Terry, Brian McGee.
Oh, yeah.
I played with some stuff with Robert Lockwood. Hound Dog Taylor.
Wow.
And Willie Dixon.
Oh, wow.
I did some heavy things.
The guys.
Heavy
yeah.
things who gave me the nods. This cat's right on the right track.
And you were like a kid.
Yo,
right?
Yeah. They were like, what the fuck is this? Where's this shit coming from? But I will say this, and I'm glad you're here. Because I want to say, for the record, and I want, see, there's this guy that was my hero when I was a kid. But I can never say his name right. It's either Mick Richards or Keith Jagger. Whoever that guy is, he's the guy. But what does Mick Jagger and Keith Richards have in common with George Thorogood?
Well, I remember when you opened for them in the 80s.
What do those two guys and me, the three of us, have in common?
I can't even.
I'll tell you what.
Okay.
And that, because Brian Jones was the first person those two guys ever saw play slide guitar.
Oh, really?
And Brian Jones was the first person I ever saw play slide guitar.
Wow.
On Shindig. He was playing Little Red Rooster.
Oh, yeah.
So if I've seen Mick and Keith again, when I first met them, they were like, well, I don't know about this kid. I said, you guys don't know how far a coast we're connected. You know, I'm on my hair, look just like Brian Jones. You know, and I worked at it. Too lazy to crow for day. when the Rolling Stones did their 50th anniversary tour and they played in L.A., they brought up Tom Waits to play Red Rooster with them and not me. It broke my heart.
It breaks my heart here.
It broke my heart.
Because that was the version.
I said, no, man. I'm the reincarnation of Brian Jones without the blonde hair. And they got Tom. Well, God bless Tom. He's great.
He's great.
He did a great job. But I said, it should have been me. It should have been me. And you guys know it. So for the record, you told Mick and Keith, they went into a club and this guy named Brian Jones was playing Dust My Blues by Elmore James. It's the first time they heard a slide guitar. And the first slide guitar I heard was Brian Jones.
So we that's
what got me into it.
That is
I was
very
on the
cool.
same show. I was watching a show with Howling Wolf on Shindig and Brian Jones playing slide guitar, and I was hooked.
Oh, that's so
I
cool.
I was done, man. I was hooked. And then for those cats went a long way from that to what they were by the time I met them. You know, they went through a lot of different changes.
Oh, yeah.
Disco stuff like Miss You and
oh, yeah.
you know, all the stuff that they went through, different kind of music forms, reggae and all that, yeah, which yeah. I love. I love what they do.
Sure.
But at the same time, I said, no, man, I didn't go any farther than that. I didn't want to go any farther
sure.
than that. That was it for me.
right.
And that was the end of the rainbow.
right.
You know?
Once you get there,
so,
you're
so,
there.
Yeah. So when Mick Taylor left the band, I was like, right here! Right here. I'm the guy!
Yeah.
You know? So I'm still waiting.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what, for the 75th anniversary,
never
you're going to be the...
Yeah. Those guys will probably be the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, right.
The way
right.
those guys are going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah. So... That's the update.
Yeah, that's great. So I got to ask you, you live primarily on the bridge pickup, right? On that? That's where you get that tone?
Hold on. I don't know. How would I know? I don't follow that kind of stuff.
So in the heat of battle, you just play.
Exactly. I just fiddle with it and go, okay, there it is. Where it's coming from, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I remember I had a 125. And I did a television show with Johnny Rivers.
Oh yeah.
And they did a whole, Dick Clark did a, they did a tribute to Dick Clark's 30th year anniversary in show business.
Yeah.
And they set up a 30 piece band, which included a lot of heavy hitters.
Oh, Bo Diddley, sure.
Johnny Rivers, Al Jardine, Boots Randolph, all these really cool cats. And I got invited to do it. So I got up there and played. I'd never met Johnny Rivers before. We're rehearsing. I fiddle with my guitar, and Johnny Rivers turns around and he goes, "Sounds trashy." So years later, I got to know John, and he took me out to dinner, and we got chummy for a little while. And we were walking through this place, and it was a guy with a picture playing in his club who had a 125. And he was informed that they used to be used for low-volume soft jazz. People played soft cording for jazz. They weren't really designed for what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, you know, that's why I said, I listen to these things and I go, you know, but I got those guitars and I just couldn't get that sweet tone. For me, those guitars are 125. For me, like you said, always came out trashy sounding, like a trash can. I don't know how those guitars make that sound. And John goes, George, it's not the guitar. I was like, oh, he was trying, it's you, you know,
great.
You know, whatever you do Thurgood is going to sound dirty.
Yeah. You know what? It really is pretty amazing. Cause when this guitar came out, it was, you know, totally solid or total hollow body. So very prone to feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cats can't use it a lot, but you kind of made that part of your thing with your feed, the way
well, you got to control it. It's really good if you're in a small club. And we had a small Princeton amp. I learned that from Elvin Bishop. Use a small amp and mic it through the PA. So I had a Princeton amp, then someone took the 10 out of it and put a 12 in it.
Oh.
So it was 12 watts, so we turned it up almost all the way and got a big full sound, a 12-inch speaker.
Huh.
With the 125, it sounded massive.
Yeah.
And we mic'd it, see? Yeah, you would get that, but if you're close, you could control it. Now later on, when we got into bigger stages, we ran into a lot of problems. Only two people asked me this question. The 125, and he said, how do you control that feedback? One was Jay Giles, rest in peace. The other was Johnny Winters, rest in peace. Another time, Johnny came and he said, George, you know that 125? He said, how do you control that feedback? He goes, oh, I asked you that last time, didn't I? I said, you ask me that every time, John.
Yeah.
You know, but we tried doing everything. They tried putting cotton in it. They tried all this stuff. And I go, no, it's made that way. It's made to play. If you don't turn up the guitar all the way or the Fender amps, they don't work. They're like a Chevy Nova. If you don't floor it, it stalls out.
Sure.
So the amps are made to go to 8, and these things, if you even turn it down a little bit, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Nothing. You turn it down a little bit, you get. If you turn it all the way, you get. See, that's, I said, why they even put these controls on here? I have no idea.
So, and you control the feedback mainly by your positioning, like mm-hmm. kind of, mm-hmm. yeah, it's really masterful when I see you doing it and you'll hold a note and just, oh.
Well, yeah, like not, Spinal Tap got nothing on me. I'll have a bite.
Yeah.
But I have, but we have brilliant technicians who help me with that. You know, like if it's too much, they know how to back it off. Well, yeah. I was on my own for years.
Yeah.
Because I had, you know, I don't want to say cheap, but inexpensive equipment. And when they modernized, when CBS bought Fender and the 125 got stopped making in 1970, they said, well, to get that sound, that's what the old cats used.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have a black face Fender amp, not the blonde. That's too much distortion. Yeah. But I said, that's what they used in the studios with Chess. And all around what they used then.
Yeah.
And that's how they got those great sounds, because they were poor musicians. Yeah. They couldn't afford the great stuff.
Sure.
And people thought they were making that sound on purpose. No, they were trying to play clean.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm trying to play clean like Jeff Beck. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you got the right equipment. So we got the bigger places, arenas. We ran, and we said, you never can do television. Never. Because you turn it up and you get this buzz.
Sure.
Well, and then David Letterman, poor guy, said, what is that buzzing? What is that buzzing? And that's why most guitarists don't like TV. Because you got to turn down so low. And I go, but you're not getting the full effect of what I do. You know, and when you play it too loud, then you get that buzzing from the lights and all that. I mean, I had so much problem with the lights when I play plays and buzz coming off the P90s.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it, you know, you want a good light show, but what's suffering one thing, you're losing something else. So it took a long time for Adam. We found out these guitars weren't made anymore to 125. I said, well, that's it for me. I'm done. And he goes, fuck.
Yeah.
Because I was beating those 125s to death. It cost me $200, and it cost $2,000 to fix it every winter.
Sure.
And I didn't know this, and they spent more time with that. I said, we'll find. So they went to Epiphone, and they designed these Epiphones just like the 125.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like taking a Chevy Nova and making it run like a BMW.
Huh.
So I get the best of both worlds. So you got to congratulate our sound man, Adam, and our guitar technician for getting the right thing without George having to quit.
Right.
You know.
So when Epiphone built this signature, did they take your Red and kind of copy that, or did they, or a couple year old 125s? How did it work?
How would I know? I don't handle that end of it. I turned it over to the Reverend. I turned it over to Pitt.
Well,
I said, look man, it's like when I go to the doctor, they explain. I said, look, man, I don't want to hear any of this. Just fix me.
Yeah, right.
I said, I don't want to hear, you know, and I don't want to know no sob story. Just give me the thing that works.
Well, let me ask you this. So the 125 notoriously has a very small neck. And I'm told that you really liked, you just, that was your
thing. Yeah, small hands, small fingers, and the 125 didn't have a wide neck.
Yeah.
And I gave it to certain people, and they couldn't even play the guitar because the strings were so, it was so small.
Yeah.
Bo Diddley couldn't even play it.
Really?
His hands were too big.
Wow.
I gave it to other people, and they tried to play it. The only guy who picked it up and really could do something with it was Elvin Bishop. He'd go backstage, and he had these 125s, one I think he wanted to sell to me or give me. But Elvin can do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Elvin could take a mandolin and make it sound like the blues.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, he's a freak of nature.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
So, you know what I'm saying? So he would pick it up and make it work. And great rhythm guitars,
yeah.
great slide. So, well, I don't play lead. I play rhythm, I play slide. That's what I do. You know, yeah. I lead the leads to Sula. You know, you take it, you know. You be Jeff Beck, I'll be Brian Jones. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
That's great.
So, yeah, I would... I was lucky to find that. I thought all guitars were like that. I got a Gibson beautiful 50th anniversary Les Paul Jimmy Page model gold guitar. I for the life of me, I can't play it.
Really?
My hands are too small. I'm trying to figure out how to do it. One day I'm going to get it out here and get the Reverend to teach me how to use it, you know, and it just, it was great to have it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm the only guy who doesn't play a Fender or a Les Paul. I play this guitar.
Yeah.
But another thing, though, too, John, is you have to understand that when we started, I knew we were going to make records. I knew we were going to be on the radio. So I said, I want to pick a guitar so as soon as they hear it, they'll know it's me.
Yeah.
Whether they like me or not. Even if they don't like it, they turn up, but they'll know it's me. When you hear a song sung by Van Morrison, you know it's him.
Right.
You recognize that voice.
Right.
So I said, that's what I want. He was the guy I went after. So I want my guitar when I hear it to go, that's Thurgood, turn it off. Or that's Thurgood, turn it up.
Right.
You see?
Right.
So that was another thing I really wanted.
Yeah. Well, now, speaking of slide, what are you using for a slide?
This is a copper slide, which I noticed the only other person who used copper was Muddy Waters.
Huh.
And I saw him do it, and I said, I see some people use like a, John Hammond uses a spark plug wrench. Some people use glass or bottles. I said, the glass, it sounds too light. The brass one sounded, because it's brass up against the strings.
Yeah.
So it gives it, and Muddy had a special ring with that slide he had. It really twanged.
Yeah.
And I said, good enough for Muddy Waters, good enough for me.
Oh yeah, that's great.
So that's what I went after.
Now what, I think you're using three tunings, is that right? E?
I use D and G.
Okay, D
which
and G.
Works for me because it's a lower. And
yeah.
I sing in a low register. I don't have a very high voice. I sing, you know, I'm somewhere between bass and baritone. I'm somewhere in there. And another thing is, when you turn it down, when Keith Richards discovered open G, that's when he gave up dope.
Yeah.
For all good reasons. I said, open.
Yeah.
You know how he does. I said, man, I saw him do that live once. He must have repeated that 50 times.
Oh, it's.
That's his drug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's his drug.
Yeah, riffs like that. That is
that
just,
open G is just like, he's like. He kept Mick Jagger waiting so long for the vocal, he just kept walking. Walking out all the way out on the wings. With a look on his face like, see, Mick, you can't do it without me. It was badass to the bone,
oh,
let me tell you.
Great.
I sucked it up.
Oh,
I said, man,
great.
I want open G. And that's what bad to the bone is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, well, good enough for him.
Yeah.
Good enough for me.
Well, and you're right. There is no bigger sound than that open.
Yeah.
Yeah, open tune like that.
Yeah, he even took off, I think he has a five string. He took off the bottom one.
Yeah.
Just to have that. Well, I keep the bottom one in there because I saw Muddy Waters do it and he did. When he came out on the stage, he played. He did Walking Blues by Robert Johnson. I was as close to him as I am to you right now. I said, you see Muddy Waters doing Robert Johnson, George, you aren't going to get any closer to it than right now.
Right.
Closer to whatever it is.
Yeah.
That was it. I was just like, and man, he would snap those strings when he'd go up here. The strings would go, bang, boom, bing.
Yeah.
Oh, way out. I was, God damn.
Yeah.
I said, man, that's for me.
Yeah, right.
I was hooked.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, I started off playing in open D, which is actually harder than G, but you still get a big full sound. But it's a lot harder because, more difficult, I should say, because for me anyway, it's just got, there's more strings to deal with.
Sure.
You know, but I use that too, open D. I don't use A or E because it's too high and the strings break.
Yeah.
You gotta tune it up. I said, no, Hendrix turned his guitar down a half step, and a lot of people thought it was for his voice, but when Hendrix knew, he turned it down a half step, and it, for a trio, it gave a fuller sound. It was fuller.
Right.
When you bring it down, use heavy strings and bring it down. And I see some slide bringers, they bring it, and I said, didn't you see Muddy Waters play? Didn't you pay attention?
Right. So what gauge strings are you using?
Well, I asked Bo Diddley once that. I said, Bo, what kind of strings do you use? He said, I don't know, but the heavy duty. So you have to ask the Reverend what kind of strings I use. I don't go there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just pick up the thing and, well.
God.
You know.
Man, it's amazing that you were hanging with all those guys. I mean, like, to be around Muddy and those cats?
Yeah, I remember when we opened for Muddy, I'd seen him play
yeah
several times. And then we got a gig opening for him. I went and see him some more. Same with Wolf, Hound Dog, all those cats.
Were you in Delaware at the time?
Yes and no. We were more based in the New England area when we played with Muddy Waters and Howling. But the funny thing is, years later, I got on a tour with Steve Miller. And we were going to do this Muddy Waters song. And I already cut some stuff.
Yeah.
And he wanted to teach me this song. And he said to me, it's really funny. He said, we're going to do this Muddy Waters song. And he went, George, do you know Muddy Waters? And I'm like, yeah, I've heard of him. I think the guy thought I was born 45 years old learning to play. I said, anybody who plays slide guitar has heard of him. Well, Steve, you know, that was funny.
Yeah,
that was really funny. Yeah. But I said, yeah, I think I can swing with it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, George, I tell you, man, it is such a honor and thrill to get to meet you.
Thank you.
And hear you work that magic right here, man.
Whatever it is, it pays the rent.
Yeah. Has been paying the rent for a long time.
Yeah, and so I'll stick with it.
Yeah. It may be many, many more years of heavy rent paying.
Well, let's get through this one. That's how we usually look at it. You know?
Yeah, right.
Let's get through this gig.
Yeah, right.
And then tomorrow we'll take care of it.
Well, there it is, George Thorogood. Okay, now I'm with George's tech, Rev. Rev, thanks, man.
Yep, thanks for having me.
So you're the guy that actually is making the slides,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Take me through that process a little bit. What?
Long. I do it at home, so I do it like an assembly line.
Yeah.
Because each one, it would take about an hour and a half.
Let's start with what kind of copper you buy.
Go to Home Depot or Lowe's. It's your typical copper pipe you're going to have, you know, in your house.
And
I cut them down. I have a little measuring tool, so they're pretty much exact, you know. It's gonna not be perfect, you know, but
sure.
They're within that. So I cut them down and then have to clean out all the, you know, like the little splinter type stuff.
Yeah.
And then I fill in the tape to where, right when it fits barely on my hand, it's gonna fit his perfect.
Okay. You know? So just black
yeah,
tape.
Yeah, and then I pull it down and then I cut it back, you know. So, I mean, even though it seems like, oh, it's just tape and that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not right, if it's too tight, he ain't get it on. If it's too loose, it's gonna come off, you know.
So you'll make like 80 of these
every
before
year,
the tour starts.
Basically, because in a normal, perfect situation, they come back to me.
Yeah.
He gets two in a night, and they come back to me.
Yeah.
But if there's, you know, if there's a kid in the front,
yeah.
He's getting a slide. Like, I know, right when I see the kid, I'm like, oh, I just made that slide. He hasn't even used it yet. He's gonna use it and hand it away. And sometimes he'll throw, you know, so we'll get a few shows where both of them go out,
yeah.
You know? And so when you're doing 80 shows a year, if he throws out one every, then
you're cool.
We're cool.
Yeah, but, just made it.
Yeah, because we still have some left from the year before, but you know, so yeah, I stock up each year.
Yeah.
And then there's still times where I have to build them on tour. Like we'll get down, all right, we're down to 10. So I need to make a couple
sure.
of my spare time. You
know? Yeah.
But.
And okay, now tell me about the picks too.
So he,
what's going on there?
So they're like banjo picks, you know. So
yeah.
It's a thumb pick, and then the index finger one.
Okay.
Goes on like that.
Yeah.
So, the weird thing in that is it's a down and up. You can't go up and down with the thumb because it'll come off. Because it would just literally open. It would open on the upstroke.
Sure.
So he used whatever company used to make, you know, that was like a big company, they stopped making them years ago. And he would have to super glue them on because they would just come right out. Because after you use them for a while, they really? Yeah, they expand.
Wow.
I thought
super glue, that is a commitment.
But so he would have to do it. He still does sometimes if we're outside because of the humidity, you know. But so we got to where we were out of them, you know, like we'd found all of them. And I'm not sure, I think somebody Adam knew worked at a company that, you know, that made stuff like, you know, it's like a ceramic or something.
Yeah.
And so they're made for his. I can't even get that on my either one of them because they're made perfectly for him.
Yeah.
Which means he can use the same set, you know, for months.
Yeah.
And they're not going to fall off.
Yeah.
And once they get to where they're loose, if it'll fit on my finger, it gets thrown away.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Now, what strings are you using?
So you use GHS. On the standard, it's a 12, 16, 20,
wow.
32, 44, 54.
Wow.
And then on the open tuning, it's 15, 19, 24, then the all the G's are wrapped. So wow. It's a wrapped 24, then a 46, 50, 36, 46, 56.
Wow, man, that is a lot.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. The good thing is that, I mean, I don't have to change strings as much, you know. Yeah. He usually gets, like, out of a standard, because it's five or six songs, so he'll get three shows out of it. So yeah. Basically, one show out yeah. of each one. And the same with the slides. You know, he gets about three at a show. So maybe four or five times, you know, then I have to change it. So normal strings wouldn't last because they're going to get weaker. But those are so heavy that, you know, yeah. I can leave them. If we're in a pinch where I don't have time to, you know, change strings, you know, he's yeah. not going to break. He's only broke three strings since I've been here.
Oh, I imagine with strings that.
And of course, he broke them when I was the farthest distance away.
Perfect.
And he was the farthest distance away, and it was the last song, and there was 20 seconds left, and I seen him walking, and I'm like,
what do I
do? You know, and, right. you know, if you go out of tune on open tuning, you ain't using it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but.
So when you get the SIGs, do you do any changes to them, or they're just, or I mean, the signature guitars, are they just like out of the box, pretty much there?
I had to do a bunch on it.
I imagine with heavy strings like that, I mean, that yeah. skinny little neck.
So
is,
we had a
that's a lot of
we
pressure.
Had prototypes that we had messed with, and you know, we had to do a lot of work on until they got to the point where okay, this is playable. And then we said, all right, this is what we want. That basically the standard tuning, how they come, you know, I do some adjustments, but it's there.
Yeah.
The slides, because we changed string gauges, because when I started, he was using 13s, and we went up to 15s,
wow. you know,
which is the opposite of every other older guitar player.
Right,
they're going
yeah.
down to sixes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do they yeah. make fours? I want a four.
Yeah.
You know, and George is like, let's go bigger, you know.
Yeah.
But so I've had to. We had them raise the nut until we got exactly how we wanted it. And then, you know, so I still have to file them down and, you know, do yeah. some work here and there. But yeah. basically, it's, you know, pretty much stock except for the,
right.
you know.
Well, Epiphone's on such a roll right now. They're doing amazing work.
Yeah. They're great. They're great guitars.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
you know,
that's...
and they got this model. So it was, they took Old Red is the first one. And then they took the one he used on Bad of the Bone in the video and
yeah, white.
Album. Yeah. yeah. And then they had whatever his current black one, that the standard that he was used to at the time. They took those three and they like lasered them.
Huh.
And then that was, this is kind of like right in the middle.
Right.
They say, okay, well this neck angle and this neck size and the body is like this. And
because yeah. all those old Gibsons, there's such variety
yeah. Yeah.
in the same model.
None of them are the same. And
yeah.
that's the thing. So as you know, we got an A rig, a B, and a C. They're all exactly the same. There's two standards, three Gs, two Ds.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter which one I pull from, and I hand it to him. There's no, most people have the main guitar and a backup,
yeah.
which, you know, you say, oh, you got two, it's a backup.
Yeah.
But I alternate which one I hand him.
Yeah.
So he gets this one night, the next night he's getting that.
And he's same happy with any of them.
You can't really tell the difference. I mean,
yeah.
they're set up so similar that he might go, oh, I could tell, you know, and he might feel something different. But, you know, in general, they're exactly the same, which is great because
sure.
if something happens, oh, and this headstock gets broke off, I can grab that one and
right.
it's there and I don't have to spend 12 hours, you know, setting it up because they're,
yeah, yeah,
they're
that's
there,
great.
So.
Now let's hear about this whole rig, pedals and amps. You're
yeah.
doing, the pedals are here,
yeah.
amps are here, cabs are on stage.
Yeah, so basically the amp is this Electro Harmonix 22 caliber power amp.
Oh, that's great.
And they don't make them no more.
Yeah.
So we got most of them that we found.
I mean, bet you bought everyone
yeah,
you
we
run
did.
Into.
We actually, I actually called a guy that from the company trying to get him to, you know,
yeah.
hey, can we get some made? And, oh, we don't make them. And I'm like, well, you know, we want to get some. Oh, we don't do endorsements. I said, well, we'll pay full price. I'm not asking for free. Or we
yeah.
just want them because, you know, it's what we use. And they only make the 44s, which don't work. So,
yeah.
but basically, it's the sound of the guitar. You
yeah.
know, it's coming through an EQ that this Pair EQ. That we just kind of notch stuff, and it's usually room to room. So our front of house guy, Jeff, will come up, and we do our line check, and he'll do some adjusting just to help him and to help the room, you know. Let's notch some of this out, you know. We don't really add anything. Pulling. No distortion, you know, it's just the sound of the P90s.
Right, which, you know, he was talking about back in the day using just a Princeton.
Yeah.
So that little amp cranked is
And, I know from my history with them before I was doing the guitars that, you know, they had several rigs, you know, like they had pedals and all this stuff. And it kept getting, you know, trying to get smaller and smaller, you know. And then, so we had this and it worked great. And then we actually got a I can't remember what it was he got. We one of the emulator amps that was, you know, like a really good one.
Sure.
And we were going to start using it, and then we realized, well, basically we're going to sample this sound.
Yeah.
But now we're going to carry this piece of gear that cost, you know, as much as a car.
Yeah.
And you know, we got to have three in case it goes down.
Yeah.
You know, so let's just stick with this.
Yeah.
You know, because like our fly rig, we can just take a couple of cabinets. And one of these can, you know, stay right inside of the cabinet.
Sure.
Little pedal board, you know, and you're good.
So what other pedals are you running in here?
So we got a Boss flanger for an intro.
We want to get a little weird.
Yeah. Tremolo, you know, just your basic, you know, Boss. And a couple of settings, you know. We use it for an effect on Who Do You Love at the beginning.
Sure.
Almost like a gug, 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 gug.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then if we're doing Ride on Josephine, you got to have that.
Yeah.
You know. And then a delay that only comes into play if we do Sky is Crying because there's a stop.
Oh, yeah.
Or Johnny Be Good.
Oh,
every
cool.
now and then he'll pull it out, so he wants that. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So other than that.
And you're making that change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and sometimes, there's sometimes we add, you know, might add something.
Yeah.
I had the freak out, but we really don't use it. You know, it's there as a backup if the stage is dead, but.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, so if he's not getting the feedback, you can get
the
feedback.
So yeah, because every now and then you get those stages that there's, you know, stuff crammed under it. So it's absorbing all the sound. It's this thick of carpet, you know, 10 layers of paint over the wood, you know, all those things that you're hitting it going, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the opposite of here where it's concrete and.
Yeah. Very live.
Yeah. You're like, God, I can't get it low enough, you know. Yeah. But for those occasions, we will, you know, kick that on. You know? But.
And you've got a boost in front of it too?
Yeah. So, well, this is just a line, just to get the level back up.
Yeah.
Line level. But this, on the EQ, I actually have a boost. It has a little 2 dB in case.
Yeah.
So when he does get the notes ringing, I can hit it and
give him a little more,
you know, like, because sometimes he'll be all the way across the stage and turn to get it ringing, and I'm like, all right, it's still going to ring, you know, because that, like, mostly it's like the end of songs when he's hands are up and he's got that, you know, whole chord going.
Yeah.
You know, I get it to where it's, you're like, oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
But he's real good at, you know, because you take your hand off the guitar, it's going to feedback.
Oh, yeah.
And he's good about when he's singing and not playing. His hand is, you know, right in the right spot. So I never have to chase it, you know. But I've seen guys that have to, you know, do that.
Sure.
And I don't think he used to grab it as much, because I remember the his old tech would kind of ride it, you know.
Sure.
I don't know if he had to or not, but since I've been here, George is good about doing it. He'll hear it, start ringing and know, you know. So plus you can kind of feel it when it starts feeding back. Those strings are vibrating.
Oh, sure.
You know, so if you're next to it, you're going to feel that.
Yeah.
You know,
now, what are those cabs you're running?
It's a Mesa Boogie. And they're all 112s.
Yeah, 112s?
Yeah.
It's funny, you've got the dual Showmans on top. Yeah. And George said, we were walking by and goes, yeah, the amps are back there. These are the dual Showman. They're just for show. Yeah.
And all the knobs go to 11.
Yeah, yeah, the knobs go to 11.
Yeah, they do.
Showman. Yeah,
only his. Yeah. The other guys, they only get to go to 10.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, man, it's thanks for taking us through the rig. This has been really fun.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
Rev.
It.
If you've played guitar for long enough, you're going to hear the name D'Addario. That's because they make some of the best strings on the planet, but they also make accessories.
Backline Gear Transport Bags. We're not only just fans of the stuff, we actually use it. Perry, what do we got there?
This is the big dog. We got the Solo, which is a little bit smaller. They're both fully customizable. Normally, you would put your modeler in here, all your cables, pedals, anything that you need to play a show.
Strings.
We have ours loaded down with camera, lenses, cameras, stills cameras, our wireless systems, everything that we need to bring you guys great rig rundowns.
And when we go to NAMM, also has a laptop slot. And what's the best part, Perry?
Oh, man, my favorite part?
Bottle opener.
They've thought of everything.
Yeah, dude. Back to rig rundown.
Okay, now I'm with Jim Suler, the guitar player. Hey, Jim, good seeing you,
John.
Man.
Right on.
So tell me about your number one.
This is just a nice Epiphone, the traditional Pro 3, and I've been playing it for a few years now. I actually enjoy it more than my Gibson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're on a roll, right?
They're making some nice stuff, and yeah. It's very consistent up and down the neck. It's lightweight without, like, floating away lightweight.
Yeah.
And it's just, it feels comfortable in my hands, and it's been very responsive tonally. In terms of dynamics, it's very clear in the lower registers and at lower volumes, yeah. And at higher gain, higher volumes, it's very responsive as well.
Have you made any changes with it, or just running just stock? Oh, that's great.
I liked it the way it was, so I thought, well, you know, let's just keep it.
God, that's the way to do it. Because so often I will get a guitar and then I'll jack with it and get so far away from where it was. It's like, I'll do a lot of lateral changes.
Well, that's what we do as musicians.
Right.
Like tone-wise, amps, guitars, it's always.
It never ends.
Well,
you're very wise to just streamline everything. You got everything you need, nothing you don't here. So this is your main one, but you got a couple backups in case.
Yeah, and you know, I think, I'd like to play the SG tonight, and then I do, and it's what you just get accustomed to a certain thing, but it's nice to shake it up once in a while, just to, because it'll make you approach a song maybe differently or play something differently, because perhaps what works here may not have the same response, or I just won't get the same sound out of it, and I won't feel satisfied. So I tend to just kind of gravitate back to this, and the nature of the show, it's very straight ahead, meat potatoes, rock and roll. It's not, doesn't really call for a lot of variety. Just, you know, I play louder.
That's great.
But it's just the nature of the show. Now I you know, I have the ability to stretch out in terms of dynamics and range and stuff, but again, I'm just, you know, serving the song and the show.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That's the gig. Now what strings are you using?
These are 11 through 50 GHS Boomers.
Oh, wow.
I've endorsed those strings for a long time now.
Yeah. And are you in standard, or are you down a?
I play strictly standard with this gig.
Oh, those are some beefy strings in standard. On Les Paul, 11s feel, that's like.
I came up in Texas and everybody was like, you know, following Stevie back then.
Right.
And he was playing like 13s through 56 or something. And finally, I think toward the end, he was down to 11s.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, he stopped using chemical enhancement, and somebody asked him, why did you stop, you know, using heavy strings? Because he said, because I stopped, because I could actually feel my hands again. But he got straight and was obviously a big inspiration to me. And, you know, and his sobriety was a huge inspiration to a lot of people. Yeah. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah.
God bless Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. He changed everybody's game.
From Dallas, and you know, we were all very proud of him. He, you know, and he kicked the door open for guys like me, you know, him and George.
Did you see him playing around Dallas when you were there, back when he first kind of came out?
No, he had moved. He was like 5 years older than me. He had moved to Austin at that point, and by the time I was old enough to get into clubs, he was coming around, and I was still kind of in a classic rock mode then.
Yeah.
But I would read about him and hear about he and his brother, and. First time I saw him was, I guess, 83 on the Texas Flood album release in Oak Cliff, where he grew up, at the Bronco Bowl.
Cool.
And his parents were there.
Cool.
And I was, you know, as close I am to the light, he just like melted everybody's face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
I just remember Third Stone from the Sun, him jumping up and down on the guitar.
Wow.
But, you know, he was a big inspiration.
Yeah.
But yeah, the heavier strings was kind of came from that.
Yeah. And, what picks are you using?
just these custom picks. They're like, I think 108. They're pretty heavy, yeah. But I try to have a light touch. It was kind of a Malcolm Young thing.
Sure.
Because he likes heavy picks, but he would strum lightly.
Yeah, it's the nuance of the
Yeah, he wasn't, hands. You know, ham-fisted.
Yeah.
But yeah. He was a big role model to me. Huge fan of Malcolm.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. And Angus. So.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's talk about this very Spartan pedal board. What do you got going on here?
We have a Polytune tuner here. It's a Polytune 3.
Okay.
And this Spark Gain Boost by TC Electronics. I use their shaker pedal at home with my group. It's sort of the, magnetone sound.
Yeah.
And I really like that a lot, but I've had a lot of good luck with that with TC Electronics.
Yeah, can we hear that thing?
Sure.
Let's hear your, just
a nice,
thickens it up a little
right.
bit.
Right, it helps me kind of jump out without distortion or overdrive.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, and next the Archer.
Right, and that was something Jeff Pitt, our production manager, turned me on to because I've used the Tube Screamer forever, TS9 and... Should have tuned up first. Sorry, Premier Guitar.
Yeah, the Archers are great. That is a very ampy, just drive.
Yeah, it's so I still love the Tube Screamer. I use that at home.
Yeah, but that's I mean, everybody in Texas has a Tube Screamer. You can't. They won't let you into Texas without a
They
tube
gave
screamer.
Me one when I was born.
Yeah, and here you are.
Use this, and you got to learn how to play Hideaway.
Yeah, right.
That was like your litmus test.
Yeah, right.
I first went out when I was young and played with some of the older guys, and I got chewed out because I didn't play Hideaway right.
Yeah.
So I definitely did my homework on that.
Yeah. What key is the right key for Hideaway?
E.
Okay.
That's the key of the people.
Yeah.
The country people's G, but the blues people's E, like Jimmy Reed.
And, right.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it never sounds right. I've heard it in G, I've heard it in F, and it never said.
Well, honky tonk's in F, but people play it in E.
You know what? I was totally confusing honky tonk's in F.
Yeah.
It messes me up every time. Just,
because nobody wants to do that long bar chord stretch.
Down a half strap, so much better. Yeah. And then the last ingredient is just the tremolo.
Which I really don't use much because, I mean, obviously, if George is using it, it just kind of.
You're pretty flammy.
Sounds like a bad hangover. We're both using it at different rates.
Yeah.
For like a Gulf Coast ballad or something.
Yeah, sure.
The slow numbers. But if I was, you know, playing alone, I might use it on a Bo Diddley groove or something.
Sure.
Or a ballad. But it's more of a textural thing. I really don't use much during the course of a show. This usually, the Spark TC Electronics pedal usually remains on at all time.
Yeah.
And then I'll just use the Archer for solos when I step out.
And you're using the same amp as George, that little Electro Harmonics.
Production people love it because there's no tubes, it doesn't break. It's like Harleys are great, but they break down, you know.
Right.
So you spend all your time working on stuff, and so they're not like worrying about, you know, fixing things. And so many people come to me, like other players, and they're like, "That's what you're using?
Yeah.
Is that little box?" And I think they're out of production now.
Yeah. I mean, they sound great. What I love about them is there's no decisions to make. The EQ is the EQ.
Less options means less mistakes.
Less to go wrong. Less to, you know, like we were talking about, like you can tweak your way out of a tone by just, you know, messing with it.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Jim, hey, man, pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, so good.
Thank you, Premier Guitar.
Check them out on the road.